Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
If it takes time for us to learn natural things, how much more will it take for us to be committed to learning spiritual things? Okay? It takes consistency, it takes repetition, right? It takes diligence. And one of the things that bothers me about believers today is how passive we are about the Word of God. How loose we are when we read the text, and how easy we give up when it comes to seeking God about gaining understanding about scriptures. And I really believe that this series called Reset, I usually go through stuff in about 4 weeks or 6 weeks, but I really want to spend time here because it's going to be a very challenging series for us. But I think that it's going to be extremely powerful. The results are going to be extremely powerful because what we're after as a church, for those of you that know Hungry for God, our vision is to be a church that brings heaven to earth. Our vision as a church is to go after the things that Jesus said we will get to see in our lifetime. So, for example, the Bible says when we pray, our prayers should be based on the revelation that things should be in earth as it is in heaven. That if something does not exist in heaven, it should not exist on earth. For example, poverty is not in heaven, but it's on earth right now. One of the things that Jesus wants to do with his kingdom is to bring the reality of an ever-increasing prosperity that's going on in heaven into the earth realm so that poverty can end through the name of Jesus and through believers who know him, who co-labor with him, who partner with him, and bring the wisdom that's in heaven that sustains the prosperity in heaven. You see, when we talk about heaven, we oftentimes just think about only miracles and the supernatural. But how many people know miracles happen on earth?
Amen.
Miracles happen on earth. The supernatural happens on earth. What's supernatural to us is natural to God. Our supernatural is God's natural. Are you seeing this? So when God supernaturally heals someone from cancer or from diabetes or from a broken limb, and we see that on earth and say, wow, something miraculous happens, something supernatural happens, that's normal for God. Because God created our bodies. And when you begin to actually allow your thinking to be influenced by God's norms, God's supernatural realities, which is our norms, or his norms and his supernatural realities, what begins to happen is the impossible becomes logical to us. Because you begin to look at things that seem like it's impossible to change, it's impossible to happen, but for God, all it takes is one word. All it takes is God's breath. He breathes on a valley of dry bones and they can all live again. So I believe the greatest deficit that the church has today is a revelation of who God is. For the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Not a lack of money, not a lack of gifts and talents, a lack of knowledge, and I believe more specifically the knowledge of God. The Bible says, they that know God will be strong and do great exploits. My pursuit in life personally is to know God. And I believe that is the greatest goal of every human being, is to know God. There's a quote that I wrote down that I want to read to you by a man named St. Augustine, one of the church authors and church thinkers that really framed a lot of the way the church perceives itself today. He was a brilliant man. There was a quote that he made, and I want you to write this down if you can, or take note of it. He said, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement." To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement. So, if He's not your greatest romance, if seeking Him is not your greatest thrill, the greatest adventure, the greatest journey, if finding Him is not your greatest achievement, then I'm going to propose to you that you need a reset in your life. Because what you're pursuing and what you're going after has no eternal significance to you. It has no heavenly value. And when eternity is not at the forefront of your pursuits, of your thinking, of your decision making, if you're not thinking about the eternal when you live your life today, if all you think about is the now, then what's going to happen is you're not going to have any relevance in the future, because you haven't prepared for what's to come. This life, the Bible shows us, is simply preparation for another life. This life is simply a hiccup when it comes to eternity. Because we're here for a few years, and then what happens after that? We go on. We move on. There's more to this life than just what you see. And so one of the greatest callings of the church is to help the world understand the eternal purposes of God. Let me show you a scripture to help us gain sight of this. Turn, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And I want you to take notes. I want you to take notes. And I think this word is going to bless you as it did me. Mark chapter 10. It's a familiar passage of scripture, probably for some of us. But I want to highlight something today. And I said today, we begin our series called Reset. Everybody say Reset.
Reset.
Jesus changes everything. Jesus, say Jesus changes everything.
Jesus changes everything.
All right. Mark chapter 10. I want you to help me today. Preach with me. Talk back to me. No, if food is good, you say, that's good. All right. So feel free to say that if I say something that's good. This is an open. Mark 10, let's read it. Verse 17, New King James Version says, "Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" Now let's pause right there. I want to pray. Let's bow our heads together as we open up this new series. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our counselor. You are our guide. You are our comforter. And we reverence you. We thank you today for allowing us to come, not on our own volition, God, because if it was up for us, we probably wouldn't have been here. But God, you ordered our steps today to come to this place, 185 Remsen Avenue. Be sitting in the seat that we're in because you have something to say to us. And so, God, we ask that you will open up the ears of our hearts and the eyes of our hearts to see you, to hear you. Lord, I know that there there's someone in here that needs you. They need you, God. They need you. They need you. They don't just want you, they need you. Father, there are someone in this room right now who's on the verge of giving up and on the verge of losing their minds, on the verge of giving in to depression, giving in to suicidal thoughts, and they're trying to figure their way through life. Lord, they need a reset. And so, God, I pray today that by your mercy that lasts forever, that endures, that you will show up today, God, and that you will manifest your glory in some way, some profound, life-changing, unique way. Lord, we thank you, God, for opening up the eyes of our heart. Give us revelation knowledge today. Lord God, I thank you because no one can know you without you showing us who you are. So God grants us this precious gift of revelation today. Thank you, Lord. So I say thank you, Lord, for showing me who you are. Show me heaven. Open up my ears to the voice of the many waters. We thank you, God, for our obedient hearts. That we won't just be hearers, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Say thank you. Amen. Amen. So now here we are. This is scripture. The Bible says this was what he called the rich young ruler. This man who, when he heard Jesus was passing by, the Bible says he ran and he knelt down before him and asked him a question. He said, "Good teacher," or "good rabbi, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Or in other words, what can I do now to be happy forever? Right? Most people just think, what can I do now to be happy now? But when you start thinking about eternity, you're thinking about, I don't want to deceive myself and just get caught up on the here and now, and then I'm not prepared for what's to come, right? The Bible says, just a communion. Christ said, do this until I come. There is a coming. Jesus is coming back. All right, there is a change that's happening in this world called the invasion of the kingdom of God. All right, the kingdoms of this world are breaking down, it's crumbling, and God is establishing his kingdom on the earth. And if you're not a part of that kingdom, you'll be left out. Okay, and so it starts now. And this is what this rich young ruler, he heard about Jesus, right? And this man believed.
To inherit eternal life according to his works. Look at what Jesus said. He said, all right, you want to know what to do? Jesus says, okay, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't be a false witness. Don't lie. He said, honor your father and your mother. All right, you know those from the Ten Commandments. And the man answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Now, I don't think he was lying. I don't think he was lying. This man must have been he was a devout Jew. He followed the law, and Jesus acknowledged, he says, you know the commandments. You live by it. All right? But what we find after is interesting. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus looked at him, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You will have treasure in heaven. I want you, if you can, to highlight that in your Bibles. Make note of that. Make a mental note. Write that on your mental notepad or something, and write that down, treasure in heaven. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. All right, so when we get into the story, once again, this man was sizing up Jesus. We won't see this if you just read past it, but suddenly he was sizing up Jesus. He said, okay, I've been hearing about you, and you're a good teacher. You're a good rabbi. And you're talking talking about this thing called eternal life. I never heard anybody talk about this. But this rich, the Bible says he was a rich man. He had great possessions. He was a ruler in wherever he was from. So you can find that this man, he had some level of entitlement in his life, right? He was rich. He was a disciplined person. That means he was renowned. He was well known because the people who lived an upright life and the people who were rich, they were reverenced by the Pharisees and by the religious communities and the political communities. So he had a reputation. He was well known. All right, since Jesus knew the law, he figured that if I come to Jesus talking about the law, Jesus, being a good teacher of the law, knows that I qualify for whatever he might have to offer. Because he thought that Jesus is only coming from the angle of the law. But watch what happens. This man who had great possessions, who qualified for whatever he wanted, who was probably welcomed to the best seats in town, who from the world's standards, there was nothing that he couldn't qualify for. But when Jesus turned around and said, okay, he looked at him and said, there's one thing that you actually do like. This man probably never heard that before. Because he had the money to buy whatever he probably wanted. But Jesus says, you do lack something. I'm going to show you what it is. What did Jesus say he lacked? What did Jesus say he lacked? He said, go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And you will have what? Treasure in heaven. So what was the one thing he lacked? Treasure in heaven. He had treasure in earth, but he didn't have any treasure in heaven. Now we're going to break that down, and I want you to get this, because what you're going to discover is that all of your life, all of your life's problems are going to be traced to what you've positioned in your heart to be a treasure, or what you prioritized. Whatever you treasure in your heart, whatever you treasure in your life, becomes a priority to you. And all of your problems can be traced to your priorities. I said all of your problems will be traced to your priorities. Whatever you make a priority, whatever you value in your life, if it's not the will of God, if it's not the perfect will of God, and you value it and you treasure it, and you live your life from it, if you prioritize it, what begins to happen is, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the what? Lord's purpose that prevails. And God woke me up a few days ago and showed me something out of that text. He said, many believers who talk about they're going through warfare, it's really my purpose is prevailing against their plans. If the Lord's purpose prevails, when your plans come across God's purpose, who's going to win? The Lord's purpose. So when you are trying to build your life according to your plans, but then you're praying for God's will, and you're praying for God to be revealed in your life, what begins to happen is if you don't surrender those plans, God's purposes is going to begin to collide with those plans, and then those plans start falling. The plan that you had to be in a relationship with this one starts crumbling. The plan you had to enter that job falls through. The plan you had to do what you wanted to do, God's plan begins to work against it. And then you call it warfare. You say the devil is after me. It ain't the devil. It's God's purposes prevailing in your life. Come on. He says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to what? His purpose. So if all things are working together for good, you should not be angry, you should not be frustrated, you should not be complaining, because if you are believing for the Lord for his plans and his purposes, then whatever's happening, you can trust that it's good. And if it's working out together for good, my priority is not to try to make things work together for good. All I got to do is make sure I love him. Because if I love him, he's making everything work together for good. All right? So you got to love God in every season. Love God in the good times and what looks like is bad. Because even if it looks bad, it's still good. Come on. All right. So let me get back to the text. So now, this man, Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. You got a lot of treasure here on earth, son. But in heaven, you're poor. Can you imagine that? Your bank account on earth is stacked, but in heaven, you lack. Jesus said, you don't have any treasure in eternity. All of your treasure is on earth. So what Jesus said to him in actuality was, says, okay, let me help you. You want to have eternal life? Let me show you where it starts. Take all that stuff that you got. Take all those possessions you got, all that riches you got. Sell it. Give it away to the poor. I want to show you how to become more concerned about kingdom priorities. And the Bible says that when this man was told this, he walked away. Look at that. Look at the next verse, verse 22. He says, But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, people preach this, religion preached this, and just made it seem like, well, if you're rich, then you shouldn't be rich. Because if you're rich, you can't make it to heaven. But the riches wasn't the problem. It was not the riches that was the problem. It was his priorities. God is not against you having things. He's against things having you. Right? He had great possessions, but the possessions possessed him. Right? He couldn't walk away from it. Right? Whatever you can't walk away from masters you. Whatever you cannot walk away from masters you. And you actually learn how to master things by walking away from it. So Jesus is saying, I want you to give money away. And if you can give it away, then I know that you just mastered money. But the fact that he couldn't part from it, which means that he trusted in his money more than he trusted in God. That was the problem. Come on. So this man, who didn't commit adultery, he didn't lie, he didn't steal, he didn't do all that stuff, he still needed a reset in his life because it was in his heart. In his heart, he needed a reset. This is why every single one of us in this place right now, we need a reset in some way, shape, or form. There's something that we need to reset our hearts on that does not line up with God's will right now. But if we give it to Jesus, God will reorient our lives. He will set our hearts in a place where not only will we have value in this life, but in the life to come. Come on. Remember, this started simply by him asking about eternal life. Okay? So the question that what Jesus was saying in short to this man was, how can you have eternal life if you don't treasure, and how can you have eternal life if you don't treasure the eternal? Right? So this thing called treasure is so important. Another verse tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You ever heard that before? Right? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So right now, if you didn't know that, inside of you, you have a treasure chest. You have a treasure chest. Because where's your heart? In your chest. And where your heart is, your treasure is. So you have a treasure chest in you. And whatever you treasure, and write this down, your treasure is simply whatever you value. Whatever you set your heart on valuing is your treasure. It's your most prized possession. Whatever you consider to be valuable to you is your treasure. value systems. If you can, Matthew 6, 21, if you look at the verse prior to that, verse 19 through 21, I believe, or 20 to 21, if you look at the verse really quick, in Matthew 6, he says, go back two verses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on where? Earth. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust comes in and corrupts it, and where thieves don't break through nor steal. Alright? So, this treasure chest, the Bible says, which is your heart, has the ability to make deposits in heaven as well as it can on earth. Now, you've heard it said here, we've said it plenty of times here in H4G, that faith is the currency of heaven. You heard that before? If you didn't hear that, write that down. Faith is the currency of heaven. Now, I want to teach you how to get treasure in heaven, because this is what this young man lacked. He had a lot of stuff on earth, but he did not have anything in heaven. I want you to become more aware of heavenly things than you are of the natural. All right? Because what you're going to find out is that if you seek the kingdom first, everything else in this life will be added to you. The kingdom of God is superior to the kingdom of this world. When you prioritize kingdom things, kingdom realities, kingdom priorities, kingdom purposes, what happens is that the kingdom of God is fully equipped to give you everything you need in this life and in the life to come. So now faith is the currency of heaven. What faith is to heaven, money is to earth. So you make purchases here on earth with money, right? You can buy things, you can invest on earth with money, you can make investments on earth with money, all right? But what money is to us on earth, faith is to us in heaven. So what faith allows us to do is to invest. Faith allows us to make withdrawals, faith allows us to make purchases in heaven, right? Faith allows us to buy eternal things now. Faith allows us to purchase things that are supposed to be for the future right now. So that's why by faith, people who are sick can be healed. Where religion says, okay, when you die, you get healed later. But if I got faith for it now, I can receive healing now. Come on. I can pull tomorrow into today by faith. Come on. Faith buys eternal things now. Come on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when I use faith, this thing called faith, it's my currency. This rich young ruler had currency on earth. He didn't have any currency flowing into heaven. He had no currency flowing into his storehouse in the kingdom. So now he could not tap into eternal realities while he was here. All right? You can be limited. I'm trying to teach you a new way of thinking, a new way of living. This is what Jesus wants us to learn today. That if we repent for the kingdom, then we can have heaven now, not later. Come on. Somebody say, repent for the kingdom. All right? Don't just repent because you're sad. Don't just repent because you're mad or repent because you're frustrated. Repent for the kingdom. I want to change my way of thinking because I want the kingdom now. Come on. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? So now, where does it start? It starts in your heart. So here's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. I'm almost done. That your value system needs to be reset. Your value system right now is all about who you are on earth. Your reputation. Your status. Your success in the eyes of others. You only care about what people think about you. Because if you would have sold everything and gave it all away to the poor, people would have been looking at him like, what are you doing? You're a fool. Why are you giving everything away to follow this guy named Jesus? Right? He cared more about other people's opinions than he did God's. But the reason why that happened was because his treasure was planted in the natural, not in the eternal. Where are your treasures today? Where are you rooted? What are you rooting your value system in? That's the question we need to start with if we talk about reset and resetting our lives. If we keep reading, verse 21. I'm sorry, not 21, after that. From 21, let's read from 21 on. So Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, not in Matthew 6, sorry, let's go back to Mark 10. I'll read it. Mark 10, verse 21. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter in the kingdom of God. How hard it is for those who have placed their treasure on the earth. How hard it is for them to enter into the kingdom. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. So once again, he clarified what he was saying. I'm not saying that people who are rich can't get into my kingdom. He says it's hard for people who trust in their riches, right, on earth, to enter into the kingdom of God, because they prioritize their earthly possessions over my heavenly possessions. That's what he's after. And this man could not walk away from what he possessed because it actually possessed him. Are you seeing this? So whatever you trust in is your treasure. Whatever you set your heart's affections on and you value it, that's your treasure. I know some of you, there's things that you treasure in life. You treasure your family, you treasure your marriage, you treasure your kids, you treasure whatever it is you treasure. But what Jesus is saying today is, whatever you treasure, whatever you set your heart on, make sure that it's not set above the kingdoms. It's not set above. It's okay to treasure things in this life. God wants us to be steward over the things he's given us. But he says, let me just keep reading. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? And I like to tell people, you know, who talk about the disciples being poor. If they were poor and they heard that this guy who was rich couldn't get in, I'm sure they would have been excited. Right? They want to be like, well, who can get in then? And they're like, well, I know we're poor, but this guy's rich. That's why he can't get in. We got a special place in God. But no, they said, well, who can get in? Then he goes on and Jesus says to them, listen to me. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So Jesus says, with men, it's impossible to get in the kingdom rich. But with God, nothing is impossible. So if you get rich with God, nothing is impossible. Come on. See, I really believe God wants the church to get to a place where he can trust us with riches. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, for the righteous. Right? So God wants some righteous people to put some money in their hands, right? Put some riches in their hands. Because he wants to know who can I trust with this without them trusting in their riches. And I say it's not about the numbers. It's not about millions or billions. Because for some people, they get $1,000 and there goes their trust. They get that income tax check, forget it. That's the most money you see at once. And then you just go and you just splurge. You didn't bring nothing to the storehouse. You just wrap up. There's so much I want to say, but I'll just stop there. How do you make Jesus the greatest treasure of your heart? How do you make Jesus the greatest treasure in your heart? I want you to write this down. Number one, love God with all of your heart. Love Him. Mark 12, verse 30 talks about the greatest commandment that we have is to love God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, all of our strength, with everything we have. Not some of our hearts, not a portion of our heart, but all. You see, and that reset that comes is when we ask God to take away all the places in my life that I prioritize and I put my affections on that don't include Him. And I say, God, I want to reset my heart. And I want to make sure that I have treasure in heaven. I don't want to find out that I'm poor when I get to the kingdom. Number two, search for Him with your whole heart. So you love Him with all of your heart. Number two, search for Him with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me." When you search for me with all your heart. I realize our lives is one big search. We go through life searching. You search for love, you search for friends, you search for opportunities, you search for breaks. Life is one big search. But the Bible says that our greatest search should be searching for God. Hallelujah, that's good right there. Search for God. In every situation, search for Him. And when you have an inquisitive heart, an investigative heart, that you always search for Him in everything you do, everywhere you go, you include God, you think about Him. And what happens is that the Bible says you'll find Him. Come on. Number three, trust Him with your whole heart. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with some of your heart, all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. See, faith is trusting God. That's all faith is. Simply defined, faith is trust in God. It's confidence in God. So trust, faith is currency. Trust is currency. Realize that whatever you put your trust in, you guard. You protect treasure, right? You trust, you guard treasure. When you get around people you don't trust, what do? You put your guards up. I'll show you, whatever you guard with your life shows me what you treasure. That was good right there. Whatever you're guarding with your life shows me what you treasure. See, we preach community, for example, here. We want everybody to be one big community, one big family. But the people who are guarded, they don't value community. They guard themselves from it because they don't think community is a big deal or community is important. But one of the things is, when your life becomes more generous, when your life becomes more expansive, when you recognize how big God really wants you to live, you open up your heart and say, I want to be a part of community because that's what God wants me to be a part of. See, I'm putting God's priorities above mine. I may not understand why community is important, but I'm going to give myself over to it. I'm going to let my guards down. I let my guards down and I open up my heart to community. Anybody feel you can't be a Christian by yourself? You don't get saved by yourself. You don't get baptized by yourself. You don't get blessed by yourself. You can't bless yourself. You can't save yourself. The Bible says, how can one believe unless someone preaches to them, right? Somebody needs to preach to you to even get saved. We need each other, all right? That's for free. Two more points. How do we make God our greatest treasure? Praise Him with your whole heart. Psalm 9 verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. So praising God with all of your heart, the Bible says, when we do that, God will gift us with His presence. God gives us His presence when we praise Him. And the last thing we want to do to make God the greatest treasure of our heart. Number five, return to Him with your whole heart. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, and we're done, says this. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Tear your heart, not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Amen. So the last thing we do to make God the treasure of our hearts is return to him. So what is it? Number one, love God with all your heart. Number two, search for him with all your heart. Number three, trust him with all your heart. Number four, praise him with all your heart. Number five, return to him with all your heart. Now, I don't know what part of your heart is being compromised with other things other than Jesus. You know, one of the things is that we put our value in things that sometimes bring more harm to us than good. Come on. Some of us have put our values and our trust in things that separates us from God, not brings us closer. This rich young ruler, he put his trust in his money, and that separated him from God. What have you put your trust in, church? Personally, I'm talking to you individually. What have you put your trust in that's leading you farther from him than closer to him? That's what we want to reset today, amen? Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.